Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm 89, beginning with verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. And this is the second parable. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The gospel of the Lord. All right, please be seated and let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this morning I would be able to speak light and that we would hear it and see it, Lord God, that you would reveal yourself to us, manifest, Lord, in Jesus' name, in this season of Epiphany. Amen. So we're in the season of Epiphany, second Sunday of Epiphany. In the broader season, we've been talking about hope. Hope then, hope now, hope forever. And in the season of Epiphany, we are looking at seven ways that we can be the light of Jesus Christ in this world. And so the first week we talked about we need to choose to be light. Last week we talked about how we need our light to shine where people can see it. And this week we're talking about speaking light. The premise is that God, you know, Christ in us makes us children of light. We were children of darkness, but Christ in us makes us children of light. And we have this great source of light in us, which is Jesus, and we need to shine that out. And we shine it out by speaking it. And one thing that I would encourage you to do, if you can think about yourselves this way, is that you're basically like walking lighthouses, okay? Lighthouses are not just beautiful, but they're important things, right? Because what does a lighthouse do? A lighthouse puts out this beam of light, and it's a moving light. It doesn't just stay in one place, it moves. And it tells people, hey, there's danger. There's danger. You're coming dangerous into a dangerous place. But I'm warning you so that you can have a safe path to a peaceful harbor, okay? And what we do when we speak Jesus, because speaking light is speaking Jesus, is that we are showing people the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And when you speak light, that reveals things. It touches people. It's a matter of life and death. And so we're people who speak light, and we reflect Jesus. Paul writes, "For what we preach." And I know a lot of people read that and they go, oh, okay, I'm not the preacher, so it doesn't apply to me. No. If you're speaking truth, the word of God, then you're a preacher, okay? And my job is, I'm doing the best I can when I get out of the way. When God speaks and I just kind of duck, all right? When we speak the truth of Jesus, we're preachers. You're all preachers, and you have that opportunity. And if you don't know what to say what Jesus said, because then you can't go wrong, right? But speak light. He said, what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And again, I think of that lighthouse image I love so much because, you know, you've got this burning, brilliant light, but how does it get focused? It gets focused because there's a mirror behind it, and that light shines out, and it's directed, and it's a reflection that shines out, really, right? It's not the light, it's the reflection that shines out. Well, what do? You have Jesus Christ in you, you have the Word of God in you. You're a mirror of Jesus Christ. Shine Jesus, right? The ultimate light that brings the truth into the world. And so we need to be imitators of God. If we're the children of light, we are imitators of God who speak light, which is the love of God through Jesus Christ. Paul writes again in Ephesians 5, follow God's example. That's the New International Version, is follow God's example. I like other versions. It feels a little heavier in some of the other versions when Be imitators of God. Not just, you know, follow God's example. Be imitators of God. Right? And what does God do? He loves. He loves perfectly and graciously and amazingly. He loves. So we're imitators of God who speak in the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul writes, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And again, I want to encourage you, right? Because when you speak light, when you speak Jesus into the world, you're making a fragrant offering to God. When we talk about his son to other people, don't you think that that pleases God the Father? He loves his son. He loves his children who speak about his son. And it's a fragrant offering. So don't be afraid to do it. Just remember that when you do it, it's something that's pleasing to God. He loves that about us. He talks about the way of love. The way of love is the way of light because true love, which is God's love, which is totally unpolluted by sin. You know, I mean, think about that. God's love is totally unpolluted by sin. And so when he loves, if God loves, and the word is all right? Can God love a little bit? He doesn't love a little bit. He loves totally. And if he loves, whatever God does, he does totally. And so if he loves, there's three words that I think are important that we need to kind of remember about love, if it's God's love. Totally and completely. First of all, totally and completely, good. God is good? All the time? So God's love is good. God's love is righteous. It's right. His love is right. It's the right way. And it's always the right way. And it's completely the right way. And God's love is true. It's always true. Completely. It can't be part anything. It has to be all. And so when we walk in God's ways, when we're imitators of God, we are people who speak light. The light of God is all an all thing. It's totally encompassing. And it's very different from the mess that this world says love is. Sorry about my grammar. It's very, very different from what the God of this world calls love. And Paul talked about the God of this world in our second lesson today. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, but that's what the God of this age does. He wants to blind. He wants us to be in darkness, total darkness. Not just unbelievers about salvation, but he wants us to be in darkness about things like love and twists and distorts things. He says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so when we talk about Jesus, when we speak light, we are speaking true love to people. The love that the world professes, is a dangerous thing. It's chaotic. It's selfish. It's filled with all sorts of rage and anxiety and temporariness. I'm making up words now. But you see what I mean? The world's love jumps from person to person to person, from relationship to relationship to relationship. From purpose to purpose to purpose, to agenda to agenda. There's nothing reliable about it. The world's love breaks people, diminishes people, bleeds people. God's love forms us, not just repairs us, but makes us new, brings us back from the dead. God's love is wholeness. It is completely good and righteous and true. There's a distinction. And that's why light is so important, because it builds in a distinction. And when we speak the light of Christ, we're speaking light so people can see the difference. Paul writes, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all total, complete good news, goodness, good news, righteousness, and truth. And I love this question. It's a question, really. Find out what pleases the Lord. What a great question. Some of the greatest prophets asked that question. You know, Micah 6, what pleases you, God? Right? It's a great question. And one of the things I love about God's word is there's really not a lot of mysteries in there. If you have a question, God's going to answer it. He wants to answer it. And if the question is, what pleases you, God? What pleases you? You can go right to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, you know, 1 to 4, 1 to 5, and you look and you see, all right, off the bat, some things that please God and don't please God. You know, in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But let's start with verse 2 here. Now the earth was formless and empty, and it was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Stop there, right? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. If God speaks it, it is. If God says it, it's true. If God says it, it has to go out and do the thing that it says, that he says for it to do. And let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. Now, what does that tell you about God, right? What that tells you about God is that he's not a big fan of allowing darkness and chaos to live forever in his creation. He didn't like that. And so what does he do? He comes to the darkness. He comes to the chaos. He comes to the void, and he speaks light. He speaks light. And instantly, if there is light, then there is substance in the void. And there is a distinction, then he separates light from the darkness. He makes a distinction because God is a God of order. And so he immediately starts to undo the chaos. That's what speaking light does. It makes a distinction between chaos and order. He essentially started time when he separated light from darkness, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. Order. Time is order. So when we speak light, it's a very powerful thing. And it tells us what pleases the Lord. He wants us to reveal, to manifest, to reveal him. Why separate the light and the darkness? We've kind of mentioned it a couple of times over the last 2 weeks. Fedge started this, and I still can't get it out of my head. But that image of being in a cave, that completely dark cave, and how disorienting it is. When you live in total darkness, you know, think about that. Just, you know, think about how hard it would be to be a blind person, completely and totally blind. To not really know if somebody tells you, hey, there's a dog in front of you, whether there's really a dog there or not. To not know the truth. To not be able to trust anything. If you're living in total darkness, you don't know what's truth and what's a lie. You don't know if there's danger around you. You don't know if you're in a safe place. You don't know. You don't know. But with the distinction, the separation between the two, then you can know because light shows you stuff. So why separate? Why the distinction? Jesus said this. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. Again, what does it tell you? What pleases you, Lord? What doesn't please him when we're lost? He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to be found. He wants light in our lives so that we can see the truth. He cares about the lost. He cares about order. He cares about salvation. He cares about completion. What pleases the Lord? What pleases the Lord is what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God wants us to know where we're going. He wants lost things to be found. And so this parable, right, that when something's in the dark, when you've lost something in the dark, what's the first best thing you can do? Light a lamp, right? So the parable. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins, that's a treasure. That's a treasure that she's lost. And loses one. Doesn't she, what's the first best thing you do? Light a lamp. Sweep the house, order, and search carefully until she finds it. I didn't grow up with, you know, in California, not too many basements. But, you know, in other places in the world, like here, that we a lot of us have basements. Does anybody have a basement with no windows? Or maybe, you know, there's basically no light down there. So what happens? A lot of people use your basement for storage, right? And what happens if you need to find some paperwork or some special thing, and you've got it down there in that dark basement, but you didn't mark the boxes? So what do you have to do? Well, first you need a lot of light so you can see what you're doing. And it may be pretty cluttered down there. And so, you know, my mom, who is a total, like, you know, OCD neat freak, this is what she would do. You take one box, but you take all your stuff and put it on one side, and then you take one box at a time, and you look through that box, and then you put the box on the other side. And you keep doing that until you find the thing you're missing, and then what she would do is completely order the entire place. All right? But order helps lost things be found. Light helps lost things be found. That's God. It's in his nature to reveal and to order. And when we speak light, that's what we do. And that pleases God. How do we know that pleases God? What does Jesus say? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I want to talk about that one word, angel, just really quickly. Because in my mind, when I read that, I instantly think of heaven. Oh, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing because the lost one was found. But guess what? That word angel in Greek, it's angelos, and it means messenger. It's messenger. So when you speak light and you are the messenger of truth and you put light into somebody's darkness and they see Jesus and they are found and their light order comes to their life and there's an eternity, there's a plan for eternity for them to be with God, then you rejoice. And if you've never led somebody to Christ, I be bold. Let the Holy Spirit help you do that, because I tell you, there's nothing more wonderful and exciting and fun and rejoicing in the world than leading somebody from a godless eternity into a God-filled eternity. It's the best. And you're angelos, you're messengers when you speak light. And God loves that. He loves the lost being found. If we're children of light and imitators of God, and we are to speak light, what are the things that we shouldn't speak? This is the part where everybody tunes out. Don't tune out, okay? Because there are things that should not come out of the mouths of of God's children of light. And it's worth, we need to know. We need to know that. Paul says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. One of the things I love about being a Christian, and I've lived abroad, I've studied many religions, Christianity has no secrets. We have no secret rituals. We have no secret places. We have no secret words. God wants to be revealed and known. We don't speak secrets. And shameful, Paul's really good about talking about what shameful ways are. I'll get to that in just a second. But we don't use deception. We don't lie. And we don't distort God's word. You know, and a big part of the global church is, you know, in a little bit of trouble now because we're distorting God's word. We can't distort God's word to justify our own behavior, right? We just can't. It's the truth. It is the truth. But Paul tells us what that shameful stuff is. And so back to Ephesians 5. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, don't cuss, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So one thing that tells me is that people have been acting this way forever. It's not just today. But think about what Paul just said. Don't do that. Thanksgiving. Think about this. If the words that came out of your mouth were nothing but thanksgiving about what God has done for you, the light you would cast. Right? What a blessing to the world it would be. A blessing to others, to just be constantly giving thanks to God. If Jesus wouldn't say it, we shouldn't say it. But if Jesus said it, we should say it. Not only because everything Jesus says is as good and trustworthy and true, but because Jesus is God and what he speaks is. And when we speak what God speaks, we're continuing the process. We're prophesying. We're bringing God's word into the world. And that's a powerful thing. What do we speak? What should we speak? What should come out of the mouths of the children of light? I didn't like it when I was a teenager, but I've been blessed with it for the rest of my life since. But my mom was insisted that I have this poster in my room when I was 12 that had these verses on it. And the rest of my friends had sports stars and rock stars and bikini models on their walls, and I had this. But now I'm grateful, okay? Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice. These things, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, trustworthy, excellent, praiseworthy, think about those things and put it into practice. Now, we put it into practice by speaking and by doing, but let's face it, human beings do a lot more speaking than doing. And, you know, again, this is, I've mentioned this before, it's not a disparaging thing, this is just fact, but women speak 9 times more than men. So think about how much more powerful you are, speaking light into the world, right? You have the choice of what you speak. It doesn't have to be nonsense or foolish talk or gossip. It can be light and truth. We all need to choose to speak light and truth. What these things, and I have a real life experience to share with you. It's a confession in a sense. I don't just preach to you. I'm always preaching to me. And you know, last Sunday I was really sick, and for the next couple of days I didn't sleep for a couple of nights. I was sick, and I had a really bad day this last week. Just snowballed. Everything was going bad. And I said something very hurtful to my 15-year-old girl. It was a reaction. I didn't engage my brain before I engaged my mouth. It was hurtful, and it could have been damaging. And the second it came out of my mouth, I instantaneously regretted it. And if I did not have Christ in me, if I had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I tell you this, the old me would have been, the old arrogant, proud me would have said, that's right, I'm going to stick to my guns. I meant that, what I said, and you need to change, and blah, blah, blah. And I would have been a total jerk about it, and it would have damaged her. Because that's darkness. And Christians need to be humble. There's no room for arrogance or pride in the people of God. We need to be humble. And immediately I told her, I did not mean that. That is not true. That is not who you are. I do not feel that way. And I am sorry. And I apologized and apologized and apologized. And then I asked God for forgiveness. And I asked her for forgiveness. And I asked God for forgiveness in front of her. Because we are to be people who speak light. Period. Whatever things are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. Mostly, we speak Jesus. Speak Jesus. And does it matter that we are clay jars, that we're fragile, that we're... Why in the world would the God who created the universe put the power of the light of God inside of these clay jars? Inside of these fragile people who make mistakes? Why would he do that? Paul writes, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That's really the reason. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is precisely because we're fragile that God puts his treasure, Jesus' Son through his Holy Spirit, is the Word of God, inside of us, because only an all-powerful God would be confident enough to put that treasure in clay jars. Here's a great example. David and Goliath. Satan used Goliath to speak for him, the giant, the monster giant, Goliath, to speak for him because he wants us to believe that he is more powerful than he is, that he is God. So he uses a giant to try to prove that he's God. But God picked a 12 or 13-year-old scrawny little boy who couldn't even fit into King Saul's armor to speak for him because God was that confident in his goddom, in who he is. God was that confident that he's God. And that's what he does with us. He put a treasure inside of you, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, made flesh, light from light, right? And we have the ability to speak light. Be humble and confident. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Be humble, be confident, and speak light. Life is at work in you because of Jesus in you. So speak light. Amen?